It is a joy to welcome you here this morning, and we have a wonderful treat, blessing, and a great honor to have a young lady who has been a friend of our family since she was born. And I was talking with her mom this morning, and we realized, putting dates together, I do remember when you were born, Denise. It's hard to believe they let 12-year-olds go to the mission field. But it was a little longer than 12, I have to admit. But this morning we're privileged to have Denise Shirley to come and share with her heart of what God has called her to do. Her dad, David, and her mom, Kathy, and Kathy's with us this morning. Kathy, would you stand? We want to recognize you this morning. Kathy, sure, good to have you here with us. Give her. Her dad, David, pastored for many years, several churches. I had the privilege to preach in those churches. At times when he was off to seminary, and I'd fill in for him, and times I'd preach revivals. And David and I have been friends for longer than you've been alive. And one of my dearest friends, David's been here. Many of you may recognize that name, David Shirley. He presently serves as the director of missions in Seneca. And this morning he's preaching in one church, and then he'll be preaching in the church that he pastors. He founded about 2 years ago now there in Seneca. And so he'll be preaching there this evening. So he's not able to be with us, but that's okay. We wanted you, not him, so this morning. But you tell him I said that. So, but Denise, I want you to come this morning, and you make your way up to the platform. She became also a special friend to someone else in this church several years ago. I had the privilege one day to take Hannah Lockaby to visit North Greenville University, and she wasn't sure where she was going to go to school. She came in my office crying, "I don't know what I'm going to do." She'd been everywhere, but didn't look like she was interested, and the Lord wasn't leading her. We took her to North Greenville that day, Monty. You remember that? And she just fell in love with that place. And after she got to North Greenville, she met this young lady you're about to meet now. She became one of her dearest friends, sweet mates, and she actually, you're going to be in the wedding. Coming up in April, and then the week after the wedding, after Hannah is married in April, Denise will be making her way to Alberta, Canada, full-time to serve as a full-time missionary with our North American Mission Board. I've invited her to come this morning. She's going to give us a testimony. She's got a presentation to show what she'll be doing there, how all this came about. I want you to be much in prayer for her and what God has laid upon her heart and how we can be a part of that here in this church and support her and encourage her. Denise, I just want to tell you, it is an honor to have you. Again, you make me feel really old this morning and everything else, but it is a pleasure. Give me a hug, honey. Thank you for being here. Would y'all make her welcome this morning?
Good morning. I'm very thankful for this opportunity. I'm very thankful for my best friend for helping me with this opportunity to open the door here so I can come and share with y'all. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for being a family friend. He actually also served with my grandfather. My grandfather was a minister of music at a church in Seneca, and where you were the pastor. So, yeah, that's okay. I got you. I got you. So this is exciting. My dad is a pastor, so he's preaching today, and that's okay because sometimes I let him come and hear me, and sometimes I don't. So my mom's here, so that's special. It's special when my parents get to come. I also have a family cousin, Miss Ann, over here. She's a cousin to my grandmother. So I got family and friends everywhere. So this is a complete honor, and it makes me less nervous. But I do appreciate it. Calgary has been on my heart for a long time. I'm very thankful for my parents who instilled a passion for service and mission into my sister and I. They took us on family mission trips as growing up and through the youth group, and we went to Calgary, Alberta, Canada in 2007 to help a church build relationships with a community. They are very against handing out Christian tracts up there, so it's all about building relationships. So the first year that the church started building relationships was in 2005. They dug out landscaping and helped pretty the entrance of the communities. The next year, they got out pond scum, and the next year, they asked what they could do for the community, and the community said, "Do you do children's camps?" So that opened the door to start building relationships and get into the community. So 2007 was the first year they did camps, and we went up and did a Hawaiian camp. Thankfully, we partnered with a team from Hawaii, so we didn't have to teach them, because we say y'all. So that would have definitely messed them up. So we got to meet a team from Hawaii, so that was really awesome. And that year we taught them character lessons, how to be a good person, how to be respectful, how to be honest, how to be kind. That way we weren't pushing Jesus on them. Calgary is very accepting, or Canada in general is very accepting of different religions, as long as you don't push their religion, or your religion, onto them. What's good for you is good for you, just don't push it on me. And so throughout the past 10 years, 2007 to now, I've been able to go up every year and serve with Southwinds, which is the church that we helped. And now they openly share the gospel in their camps because of the trust and the relationship that they built. So to help you understand a few things about Canada, a few facts, they'll be on the screen. Where the red arrow is where Calgary is, and that's where I'll be. It's about 2.5 to 3 hours above the Montana border. Most people live within 5 hours from the American border, just because if you get any north, it's very cold. not a lot of things to offer there. So the next one is a picture of downtown Calgary. The river that you see is the Bow River. It's glacier fed from the mountains because the Rockies are near there. You can see the Rockies in the background. It's the prettiest place you'll ever see, I promise you that, but it's also spiritually one of the darkest. On the next one, you can see a few more facts. There's 34 million people that live in Canada altogether, which you can see on the next one. And then 95% of those people are lost. So 34 million people and 95% are lost in Canada in general. So on the next one, there's 268 churches in Canada. Canada is massive. In South Carolina alone, there are 2,100. We have more churches in our state than they do Canada. And we're only counting Baptist churches, those that teach Christ. Like I said, they're very open to religion. So there's Mormon, there's a lot of others. I can't think of all the top of my head. But Mormon is the biggest one, and they're the most wealthy. So that's the reason. Because Canada is very expensive, so they're the only ones that can buy land and build a church, which you'll see in a little bit. So only 268 churches in Canada. So the next one, there's just over 12,000 people in Canada alone who are members of the Canadian Southern Baptist Convention, which is like our Southern Baptist Convention. Alberta is bigger than Texas, so everything's not bigger in Texas. There's 3.2 million population and 53 churches to cover 3.2 million. Yeah, so Alberta used to be the former Bible Belt of Canada, or is the former Bible Belt of Canada. When airplanes would fly over Alberta airspace, they would come over the intercom and say, "We are no longer serving alcohol because we are in Alberta airspace." Those days have gone, because 7% of Calgary's 1.2 million are saved. 7% out of 1.2 million. So 84,000 out of 1.2 million know Christ. Just let that sink in for a second. Henry Blackaby from Experiencing God, which we all heard of, he's Canadian, and he said, "Most Canadians are not opposed to the gospel. They've never heard it." Which is true. They have a lot of different religions up there, and they're very well off and wealthy, so they don't really see a need for Jesus. Most people have to hit rock bottom before they see a need. But they don't have a bottom. They're very wealthy. So that's the problem, is they've never heard the gospel. It's kind of hard to tell, but this is South Calgary. The houses are very close together. There's a city ordinance where you have to build 6 to 8 houses on 1 acre of land. Yeah, how many people have acres and don't have to see their neighbors unless they want to? Here, you don't have that option. You get to see them and hear them every day. The housing industry is very rapidly growing. When the roofers build the houses, they jump from house to house without getting off the ladder because there's so many people there. So that's a closer neighborhood. There's more people in that first picture, in this picture, than there is in Oconee County. That's where I'm from, is Oconee County, so that's why I use that. So there's more people in this picture than there are in Oconee County alone. And this is just a few neighborhoods. Just a little flashback, you can see our little Hawaiian gear. 2007, we did the Hawaiian camp. 2008, we did door hangers. And you saw that first picture with all those houses? We put door hangers on all those houses. And we only had about, 9, 10 people on that trip. So on this next picture, we brought 20-something because we didn't want to do all those by ourselves anymore. So in 2009, we took 27 to go up there and do door hangers and just to get the word out about the church and the camps. And in 2010 and 2011, I served with the North American Mission Board as a summer missionary. So I interned with the church with Southwinds and lived up there for 2 months each summer and got to live life with the people, love them even more after that experience. Just very thankful for that time. In 2012, my sister got married, so I had to stay home. It's her fault, so I only spent a week up there. I only spent a week up there that summer, but I don't blame her because it was a great wedding. In 2013, I went back because my sister was already married and went back as the North American Mission Board missionary, student missionary, and very thankful to have that experience to live up there and have a little bit of understanding what it's like in the summertime. 2014 and 15, we did soccer camp. In 2014, and those are some of the kids that you get to see every year and have a relationship with them and their family and look forward to seeing them every year. 2015, we did a kids camp, which is what we would call VBS, but they don't know what Vacation Bible School is because some of them don't even have a Bible in their homes. And so we did a kids camp where we openly shared the gospel, and we literally had outside VBS where we would have Bible stories, music, games, crafts. So that was really interesting, and definitely take having a building for granted sometimes. In 2016, this past year, we went up and did a soccer camp. Soccer camp is my favorite camp, and I can't tell you why, because if you look at me, I don't look like a soccer player, because I played golf in college. But I did play soccer 1 year in middle school, and they called me the wall, because if the ball got past me, the person didn't. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. kind of WWE over here. But soccer camp is my favorite, and I think it's the time you get to spend with the kids on your team. But this year was different. Something was different about this year, just the way the week went and the conversations went and how I felt. I'm not an emotional person, but every time I have to leave Calgary, I get a little emotional. But this year, it was like waterworks. And those who know me know I don't cry. I'm the opposite of a crier. So it definitely made a difference this year. So I got home in August, and I didn't want to make a decision having a mountaintop experience. And so I got home in August, and in September, I surrendered to the call to ministry, what the Lord has for me. Went through the North American Bishop Board, got accepted and placed, thankfully, even though I asked for it, in Calgary, working with Southwinds Church in the communities that I've grown to love and grown to love the people. So I'm very thankful for that. It was always hard leaving, but when you leave somewhere and you get somewhere and feel like you're home, whether you're in Calgary or Greenville, South Carolina, it's a blessing. Not a lot of people have that feeling. So I'm very thankful for that. My heart has always longed for Calgary. I knew there'd be a day when Calgary would be home. And a funny story, when I made the decision, I didn't want to call and tell anybody. So I met Hannah at her house. I said, "Hannah, I have some news for you." And she started crying. She was like, "You're going to Canada?" And she said, "Is it after I'm getting married?" And I said, "Yes, I'll be at your wedding. Don't worry about it. I already paid for the dress. I'm in it to win it here." So I'm very thankful for her friendship and the support from my family and my friends. That's when you know you're in God's will, is when you have the support of the people you love the most. So I have peace about this decision, and it's so comforting to wake up every morning in God's will with excitement. Calgary is a comfortable place, but as you can see from this next picture, it gets very cold there. This was taken in 2010 when I went up there for the Christmas. So it gets very cold and very snowy. So that'll be really fun and interesting. So I'm comfortable there, but not too comfortable, y'all, because it's like this most of the year. So Mahogany Beach Club is where the church meets. Like I said, land is very expensive. It's cost about $1 million for an acre of land. Yeah. So we meet in the beach club, so we pay rent a little bit. So that's where we meet and have church. And you can see the next one. We move in every Sunday. We roll up a trailer, and we unload sound equipment, set out the chairs, get out kids' stuff, coffee stuff, and then when church is over, you pack it back up, and then you get ready for summer camps during the summer. And this is our pastor, Pastor Brett. He is from Westminster, South Carolina. He went up there in 2012. You probably saw him in the picture before. He was leading a Bible story, and he asked a question about Jesus. And a little boy raised his hand and said, "Who is Jesus?" And he then asked his team, "How many people have ever heard the name or haven't heard the name Jesus?" 5 out of 9 kids raised their hand and never heard the name Jesus. And this is in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, very similar to America, the former Bible Belt, which is where we are. We're slowly losing that title. So this is a family. He brought them up there. I'm also going to be working with a lady from Alabama, but I haven't heard from her very much recently, being a Clemson fan. So I had to throw that in there for Hannah and for Monty. You're welcome. No, but she's great. She'll get over it in a little bit. so will Hannah. But yeah, my main job will be working with youth during the off season, because summer camps are a big deal, so I get to work with youth. I'm not too far out of the youth age, so I get to relate to them a little bit, or at least I think I can. I'll also be working with marketing, and that's what I got my degree in, so I'm very thankful to use my degree from a university for God's kingdom, so that's exciting. But our main source of mission and relationship building is summer camps. We start out with kids fun days. We have cotton candy, games, bouncy houses, and face painting, which the children love, but parents do not. But those are just the time to get a word out about camps. And then we have soccer camp, like I said, which is my favorite. And the point of these camps, like I said before, I'm not a soccer person, but the point of these camps is to teach Jesus. We want to teach them the sport because they are paying for the camp, but that's not the main purpose of why we're up there. We're up there to teach Jesus. Amen. So that's the... There's some kids that don't want to play, which I hang out with those kids. But that's just the time to get to know them and to lay the foundation. We also teach T-ball camp, and this year we're excited to offer a baseball camp because Brett is a former college baseball player, so we get to offer an advanced baseball camp for kids who have aged out of most of our camp, so we still get to minister to those kids. We do basketball camp, and that can be inside or outside depending on the weather. The ring, you can see at the bottom right, the ring is what they fill in with water in the wintertime, and that's their skating rink. So we do basketball, and we sometimes have ball hockey camp, but I haven't been asked to do that one. I'm not a very hockey person. So on this next one, that's one of my favorite pictures. It's kids camp where we teach them about Jesus, and we pray, and they learn about missions and different Bible stories, and then they get to take those home. We also offer Bibles, and so there's a lot of times kids will take Bibles who have never seen a Bible before. And we also offer adult Bibles, which adults can take for free. So very thankful for that. After each camp, we do a barbecue, and it's not like pulled pork like we like. It's hot dogs. So if you come up and visit, and I say, "Let's have a barbecue," don't get disappointed. We don't have coleslaw either. They don't have coleslaw up there, which is also very disappointing. So this is all about building relationships. All that to say, there's a lot of work that goes in, but it's rewarding when you get a hug from a kid who you don't know what their home life is like. And so that's Harley. He's now taller than my mom now because this picture was taken about 4 years ago. But he is one of the kids who took home a Bible, one of those kid Bibles with pictures in it, and he read it the first night, read it cover to cover. And then came back to camp the next day and got an adventure Bible, which is more words. And he and his brothers now have both of those Bibles. And he is also the kid who has aged out of camp. But every time my family comes up to visit or another group who has built relationship with his family, they'll come even if they're not in the camps to say hello, and bring coffee and bring donuts because of the relationships. And they know that they're loved. They long to be loved. So Acts 16:9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, saying to him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Calgary is saying, "Help us." There's 84,000 people who are saved. So 95% of Canadians are lost. So they need your help. They need your prayers. On this next one is Mahogany, where I'll be working. Mahogany will have 18 to 19,000 homes in the one community. So that's roughly 40,000 to 50,000 people. is going to be the biggest community in South Calgary to date. Very beautiful, but very, very lost. So as a missionary, there are needs. I need prayer warriors. I believe in the power of prayer, and I'm thankful that when the Lord says where two are gathered, I'm there with them. I'm very thankful for prayer and the power it brings. So I need prayer partners. I also have back there a card where you can have my picture, and it can be a visual reminder to pray for me, pray for missionaries, pray for our church. And we need mission team partners. If you want to, and the humidity is great up there, so if you want really good hair, come up there. I'm enticing you to come help me. We need mission team partners because we can't do summer camps alone. And also need monthly financial partners. As a North American Mission Board Mission Service Corps missionary, I'm 100% partner funded, which means churches and individuals or organizations partner with me financially monthly to help with ministry needs. I do have to pay for my ministry materials, housing, insurance, retirement. And there's a lot of other stuff that I don't even like to think about sometimes because it can get expensive. So on this next one, prayer needs. Pray for Southwinds Mahogany, which is our church. Pray for the families of Mahogany that they are receptive and open. Pray for a smooth transition after Easter, that Monday after Easter. Me and my dad are going to load up my car in a trailer, and we're going to drive 2,500 miles across the country and into a different country. So pray for that, and pray for a smooth customs and borders. Canadians are very nice, but they don't like Americans taking their jobs. You know, that's a different one. They protect their borders. Anyways, and then pray that I can find financial partners and support. And then pray for my parents. I do have an older sister, but I'm their favorite. And you can ask, she's shaking her head no, but I wouldn't lie to you. So pray for our family because I'm very thankful and very close to them. So I also teach the kids church at my church in Seneca, and we learned about when Jesus healed the blind man last week. And Jesus healed the blind man because he wanted to show what God's power is. And so I firmly believe that through this, God is going to be in this and do things that we can't explain. That's only a God thing. So I'm very excited about this opportunity. I'm very excited to see God work. I'm very thankful for churches who are mission-minded, like White Plains, who offer up time on Sunday morning to an inexperienced person speaking, but a missionary who is relying on prayers and God, and I'm very thankful for that. So I do have prayer cards and information in the back. If you would like one, please take one. And if you have any questions, please come ask me, because I probably skipped over a lot, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity, and thank you so much. I can't say thank you enough. Thank you, thank you. Oh, and I do have a newsletter that if you would like a monthly newsletter, because you saw the picture of snow, so if you want funny stories, you probably want to sign up for that. It's just a monthly thing, no spam mail. You can come see me, and we'll sign you up for the monthly newsletter. But I think that covers it, and thank you so much.
Niece was right. She doesn't cry. I'm the crier, so I would never brag on her in front of people because she would hate me for it, but I'm super proud of her. That's all I can say. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land.
Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. Don't you wanna go?
Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate that great song. I think the people of Alberta, Canada ought to hear Hannah sing. Amen. I think that'd go real well with Denise and all that we've heard about today. As you're finding your text this morning to the book of Acts chapter 14, you heard Denise reference Acts chapter 16 and God leading the Apostle Paul into Macedonia. Just a little couple chapters before that, we see a time when Paul and Barnabas have concluded their first missionary journey. And I want you to find verse 27 of Acts chapter 14 this morning. I contend to you that on this date, here in the middle of February, that White Plains Baptist Church has the opportunity of being a part of something really special. Several months ago, we commissioned and sent out one that we refer to our own, little Amber. And for the last several months, she has been in different countries around the world with the world race, sharing the gospel. We've heard reports of salvations. We've heard reports of miraculous physical healing of those that have taken place in the countries where she's been. And we're continuing to hear and look forward to what is still in store for her the next few months as she continues serving the Lord. And the privilege we have is that now God has brought someone else to us to be a part of what she is doing. As Denise said, she's no stranger to this church. From the old man who's the pastor, who knew her when she was born, to family, as Ann Durham is family to her biologically, and then a forever sister in Hannah. This is no strange place for Denise and her family. When she mentioned her grandfather, I'd forgotten that Don Earl was leading music at Reedy Fork when you folks came and talked me into coming over here and leaving Seneca. Don was in our church, Don and Francis, that's Kathy's parents, were in our church at Corinth where I was associate pastor with Brother Richard Burton. I mean, you know Richard, who any pastor at New Hope. And it was then that I met Don Earl, one of the best golfers that I've ever seen. That's why she can play golf so well. It wasn't because her daddy taught her, it's because her grandfather taught her. And so she's a tremendous golfer, and I remember with great affection Don and Francis Earl, your precious grandparents who are in heaven, and I thank the Lord for them, and I know that they are that cloud of many witnesses that are cheering you on, Denise, as you serve the Lord. We have a great privilege to be a part of what God is doing in parts of the world. Isn't it wonderful to know that people who have been through the building of this church are going to be in other places sharing the gospel because we've helped, because we pray, because we encourage, because we give. And that's exactly what we're going to see this morning in Acts chapter 14. If you stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, in verse 27, just one verse this morning, just very quickly. Paul and Barnabas have made their way back to Antioch and are rehearsing to them what had taken place on their first missionary journey. Notice verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I want to speak to you this morning, a very short message. I wanted to give Denise a great amount of time to share her mission heart. But I want to share with you a message this morning that I believe the Lord's given us this morning titled, Entering Open Doors. Entering Open Doors. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony and the heart that we have heard from Denise. Lord, we see, Lord, her passion. Just like we saw in Amber before she left to go and share the gospel, we see it in Denise as well. We see her love for the people there, just like we saw in Amber. We see her desire to go and leave family and friends behind to go and do the will of God and the work of God. Lord, I pray for her. I pray for her family. I pray for her ministry and mission field there in Calgary, Canada. God, I pray for an abundance of souls to come to know you as their Savior. I pray for a great work and a great church to be started, and many churches to be started there in Canada through her work and working with that fine pastor, Brother Brett. I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with each one of them. Lord, I pray you'd show us how we can be a part of the great work that you're doing. These open doors that stand before us will not always be open. And it is time that when we have the opportunity to enter through these open doors, that we obey God, follow God, and do the work of God. So I pray in these few moments that not only she and her family be encouraged, but Lord, may we as a church be encouraged and challenged to do the work that you've called us to do in this place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction this morning, and I just thank the Lord for Denise coming, and I know she's busy. She has a lot of things to do, not as much as Hannah has to do, but she's got a lot of things to do in the next few weeks in getting ready for all the things that will take place. But I look at verse 27, and I think about that phrase, how he had opened the door of faith, these open doors. You could probably say that this was the theme of Paul's first missionary journey. Since they had left in chapter 13 and had made their way through many of those areas of that day, they had seen God open many doors of opportunity to share the gospel, to preach, and to win souls to Christ. But I begin to think about that, and I'll think about us this morning. How many open doors do we encounter throughout our weekly schedule? Doors to share the gospel, doors to be an encouragement, doors to have prayer with someone in need or hurting, doors that we have to be a salt and be light to a world that is desperately in need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times do we enter those doors and take that opportunity and share our faith and share the Lord's love and message, or do we pass those doors by with excuses like, I don't have time, or I don't know what to say, or I'm not qualified, someone else can do it better, or maybe, just maybe, they'll be okay, and we kind of use all kinds of excuses of how we can justify passing by open doors. I contend to you this morning, I'm glad Paul and Barnabas did not pass by the open doors of their mission journey. I'm glad this morning that Denise Shirley is not passing by the open doors to go to Canada. I'm glad Amber Durham is not passing by the open doors to go to the many countries that she is going to be sharing the gospel. This morning we need to recognize as a body of Christ that it's not just preachers and evangelists and missionaries who have open doors, but it is every one of us who are a child of God. We have every week and maybe every day an open door to be salt, to be light, to be a witness, to share our faith, to be an encouragement. I want to share with you just very briefly, and I say it because there's only 2 points this morning, not three, okay? There's only two. And the first point this morning, I want you to see the encounter that Paul and Barnabas have. In chapter 14, they're continuing this missionary journey. As you go back to the beginning of this chapter, I'm not going to take time to read it for sake of time this morning, but we find three things that happen in the city of Iconium. They have an encounter in Iconium as they make their way sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that sinners believe there in verse 1, that a great multitude of them, of both Jews and Greeks, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse 2 that Satan was busy. In verse 2, some of the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Now just go ahead and mark her down. Whenever you start doing a work for God, Satan's going to get busy stirring up trouble. He'll use whoever he can to try to slow you down, to try to discourage you, to try to defeat you in every way he can. He will be busy stirring up things. Now, I know Denise can testify of the times that she has had Satan busy and her getting ready to go and her calling and preparing and even the many trips that she's already been, as you've heard, to Calgary. Satan's not going to sit by and let a child of God be faithful in the work of God and winning souls to Christ without causing trouble. So you need to pray for her that when Satan does cause the trouble, that we're going to see not only sinners believing, but notice that they also spoke boldly. They would speak the gospel boldly. Verse 3, long time therefore they abode, and they spoke boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. The way to counteract Satan's busyness is just to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to rear up and strap on your bootstraps and tighten up your belt and just get her done, as it says, and just do the work of God. Because when sinners start believing, Satan gets busy, and it requires us to speak boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this encounter in Iconium, as he continues his mission trip in chapter 14, we see so many wonderful things that happen through this chapter. But I want you to notice, as you skip down toward the verse that we read just a moment ago, I want you to see as he concludes this chapter, he's concluding his first missionary journey. And we notice not only the encounter at Iconium, but notice number 2, we see the extension of the gospel. The extension of the gospel. Whenever I have the privilege to be around those that are going to other places, places that we don't normally go, places that some of us will never see physically, I see it as an opportunity of an open door of the extension of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't go by themselves. They can't do it alone. And when we see the extension of the gospel as it's going to be shared in Alberta, Canada by Denise and all of those that will be working with the team that she's a part of, there are several things that Paul did as he comes back from this journey that we're going to see happen in Denise's life, and we see also in Amber's life and all of our missionaries and for the work of the church. We see, first of all, we see that the souls are confirmed. In verse 22 of chapter 14, in verses that we did not read, Paul and Barnabas go back around, and before they leave, they confirm and encourage and exhort those who have come to the Lord to stay with the faith, stay with the stuff. They confirm them. Listen, this is not just a flash in the pan. I believe if you could see her heart this morning, hear her heart, and I sat close enough on this front row. She says she doesn't cry, but I saw tears in her eyes this morning as she was sharing about the people she loves in Canada. And I can see the heart and see the love that she has. Paul had that love for those folks. He went back around and he confirmed them and encouraged them to stay with the faith. I don't believe Denise is going to Canada just to go up there and see the sights and then come home. I believe her passion is to share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need more like her. We need more like Amber. We need more like these precious folks who this pastor who she's going to be working with. And I believe, I think I know Brother Brett. Being from Westminster, I'm sure I know him or his family. And I've met them. And to know that they are there serving God, preaching the gospel and planting churches and doing all that's there, they need to know that God is with them. They wouldn't be there without it. Notice number 2 there. Not only did they confirm them, but also Paul commended them. Notice verse 23. So he encouraged, he ordained leaders in every church, the elders, and he prayed with them and fasted and commended them to the Lord on those who had believed. They commended them. I commend and encourage people like Denise, our own little Amber, others who are sharing the gospel. And maybe possibly we can find some way that we as this church can be a part of what she's doing. She has to raise her support. Through the North American Mission Board and through the way things happen and work, they don't pay for everything. We give every month to our mission board. We give every Easter to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. But it takes more than that for these many missionaries who are on the field. And for them to be able to stay there more than just a short time. It takes a commitment. It takes commending them. It takes encouraging them. Paul commended those believers. He set up leaders in the church before he left and commended them, encouraged them to stay with the stuff. And notice lastly, he concluded all that had been done. Verse 27 that we read as our text, I want to take you back to there as we close. It said that when they had come, they're back in Antioch now, they gathered the church together, and I love this phrase, they rehearsed, notice this, all that God had done. Now this morning, don't misunderstand me. This is not about Denise Shirley, what she can do. It's not about Amber Durham and what she can do. This is about what God can do. Amen. And what God can do with someone who's willing to be used. Someone who is willing to say, yes, here I am, Lord, send me. Someone who, like Paul, in a couple chapters later, will be challenged to step over into Macedonia, which is an entirely new continent for him. Yes, I'm willing to go. But it's only what God can do that makes the difference. Amen. I thank God for all the opportunities that we have to share the gospel and all the things that we try to put in place. But we must never conclude that it's about us. Because it's never about us. It's never about the pastor. It's not about the deacons. It's not about some family or some organization. It's not about the denomination or the mission board. It's about all that God can do. And what God can do, God gets the glory for. Amen. And there are people sitting here today who can be a part of the work going on in Calgary, Canada. There are folks that can give. There are folks that can pray. And I'm praying that we, with our mission leaders, can meet together and seek God to see if maybe that somehow we can join you, Denise, and bring a group of people up there and spend a little time with you and encourage and help with the work of God. Because it's what God can do that makes the difference. It is an open door this morning. That's why I began this message by saying we have a great privilege and an honor to be a part of what God is doing in other places. You know, if you go back and see it, Acts 1:8 still the marching orders. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, that's your home area. Go up into Samaria, that's the areas that are around you, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. White Plains Baptist Church is sending people to the remote parts of the earth this morning. We're being a part of sending them in areas. Now we get to be a part of sending someone across the border, north, into Canada. And this morning, God is opening doors. So what did Paul, how do you summarize what he did? In conclusion, it's exactly what we see and pray and it's going to happen with you, Denise, and other missionaries. Paul, in his missionary journey, he went and he worked in those key cities. He went to those major places. We need to go out to the remote areas sometimes, find areas and witness to the people where there is no internet, no satellite signal. But then there are times when we've got an opportunity and just we look around in one picture and there's more people in one picture than there is in the entire county of Oconee County who need the gospel. Imagine that. Imagine going door to door all day long and you visit hundreds and thousands of doors and you don't have to take that many steps. Key areas, big areas where there's a lot of people. Paul did that. Paul went and established those local churches, those where those believers can be taught how to do the job, how that they could come in and learn the Word of God. Isn't it tragic to hear that 95% of the people that Denise is going to be around are lost. They do not even know the name Jesus. They're lost. Those people Amber is ministering to in those remote areas this morning, they're lost. They need to know the Savior. And now we have an opportunity to be a part of someone who is going to tell the old, old story. Oh, how I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. White Plains Baptist Church, I challenge you this morning. It's time that we not look at what we want to do just to make us comfortable. It's time to see what we can be a part of in sharing the gospel with others who do not know. And if it means giving a little extra, let's dig down and give. Let's take a few moments to sign up for the prayer letter so we can get the email updates. Let's spend time on our knees crying out to God to give souls for their labor. And let's say, God, what do you want me to do? Do I need to go? I don't know, but I'm going to say this, and it can go where it goes, but I think some men need to step up. We're seeing two wonderful young ladies go and share the gospel, single ladies. Single ladies leaving their family and friends behind to go to other parts of the world. Where are the men going? I'm sorry, but maybe we spend too much time watching football and NASCAR.
Amen, brother.
Maybe we need to get busy sharing the gospel.
Amen.
I don't know. Where are the men? Come on, fellas, let's step up. Step up to the plate. Ask God what God wants you to do. And if God wants to bring some more ladies along, then Denise and Amber, I know, are glad to have them. But we have a great opportunity, White Plains, being a part of reaching the world. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed.